Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic, the podcast dedicated to all things strange, inspirational, fascinating, and paranormal. I have to apologize of sorts right off the bat. I had a very cool guest lined up. She is a very interesting story to tell, but life happens. She has to reschedule, so we will do that episode down the road. But I am a little OCD about this podcast, and I like to make sure that I get one episode done per week. So I decided we are just going to do an episode on the fly. And I was watching a commercial for the new Evil Dead movie coming out, and I really liked the remake that they did in 2016 of the Evil Dead, and this new one looks great. So I thought it would be a fun show to dive into the original movie, The Evil Dead, done in 1979, and just throw out some random facts and trivia about the movie. Not so much a deep dive analysis of the entire film, but just some fun facts you might not know. And I know my buddy Steven will be listening to this one because he is a big Evil Dead fan. Actually, he and I, years ago in New York, went to Evil Dead the musical, and lo and behold, in the audience was Hurley from the hit television series Lost, and we got to hang out and talk with Hurley for a while. So I will always have fond memories, anytime anyone mentions Evil Dead. And of course, one of the producers of Evil Dead was Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert. And Rob Tappert produced Xena, Warrior Princess, which was another badass show. But before we dive into the trivia of Evil Dead, I do have a creepy story to share. Many of you will remember my friend Anita, who lives in the Portal of Doom house, which was featured on the television show A Haunting. Well, she told me that she had redone her kitchen, sent me some of the pictures. She painted her cabinets, and she had this antique curtain installed where her kitchen window is. And she puts the, you know, everything together. She hangs the curtains and she goes upstairs, comes back down probably 1 minute later, like exactly 1 minute later, and the curtains are shredded. Like somebody took Freddy Krueger's glove and just clawed them up. How do you explain that? Well, ghosts don't like change. They do not like structural change. And negative entities especially don't like change. And they like to make it known that they don't want a structure changed. And Anita, although she was very disappointed, also just kind of shrugged it off and said, well, that's life living in a haunted house. And these are the types of things that happen that some people roll their eyes. I had a coworker recently tell me, well, I don't believe in ghosts, and she kind of smirked at me. But, you know, I welcome skepticism, and I think it's healthy to have a skeptic mind. And I understand that some people have to experience some things to believe. But for somebody to say to me with an eye roll, there are no ghosts, just know internally, I'm kind of rolling my eyes thinking, well, you telling me there is no ghosts is like telling me there are no birds in the sky. That's how strongly I know that the paranormal exists. But you know what? Let's get into it. Let's get into The Evil Dead. And I just, again, I have a soft spot for this movie. I thought it was extremely well done, and I know a lot of work went into this film. The cabin that was used in the original film was also the lodging for all 13 crew members and cast, and they all had to sleep together because this movie was done on a shoestring budget. So guess what? There were no hotels. They had to sleep on the location, and they actually rented the cabin. They leased it, and the only condition upon being able to lease this cabin in the woods in the middle of Tennessee was that any changes they made to the cabin had to be undone, except for a fireplace, which was installed in the cabin specifically for the movie, and that actually remained in the cabin. Now, very interestingly enough, years later, I'm kind of already blowing one of the trivia questions that I was going to come back to, but since we're on the subject of the cabin, the entire cabin actually did burn down, and the only thing that remained was the fireplace that they used and built for the movie. Now, even more interesting is in that very fireplace, the cast and crew put a little time capsule inside of it with memories of the film, little tidbits while they were filming, and shoved them in the fireplace. So some lucky, you know, hiker or tourist probably descended upon this fireplace, reached their hand in, and got a really cool memento from the original Evil Dead film. Can you imagine what something like that would fetch on eBay? The time capsule that they all, you know, put in that thing. I just thought that was really cool. And since we are talking about the cabin itself did have its own history of being haunted. Apparently, a child, her mother, and grandmother actually lived in that cabin in the middle of the woods for years. And one stormy night, the little girl tried to get in bed with her mother because she was scared of all the lightning, and she discovered her mother had died. Of course, panicked, she ran into her grandmother's room, and her grandmother was also dead. Now, the part that lends itself to a little bit of folklore is apparently this little girl was so startled and frightened, she ran through the middle of the woods on this stormy night to seek shelter, and this local farmhouse apparently took this little girl in, but she was so traumatized that every time it rained and stormed, she would run out into the woods in the middle of the night. And some people claim that to this very day, she'd be an old woman now, she can still be seen running through the woods. Now, whether that's true is completely up to you. But I thought that was pretty cool. You know, the original script of the movie called for all the characters to be smoking marijuana. So when they're first listening to the tape, and the actors decided to actually smoke marijuana for real during this scene. But apparently their behavior was so uncontrollable that they had to reshoot that entire scene later. But they did decide, since Bruce Campbell was in such an, let's say, impaired state, that they would do his breakdown scene immediately because he was already, let's say, high as a kite. Now, speaking of Bruce Campbell, the actor, you'll know him and his face from many films. I think he is such a cool gentleman. I remember years ago just writing him a random letter, and he sent me back a photo with his signature on it, and I thought that was really cool because I did not ask for that. But Bruce Campbell actually put up his family's property in northern Michigan as collateral so that Sam Raimi not only could finish the film but also blow it up to 35mm, which was what was required for a theatrical release. And Sam Raimi was so touched by his gesture that he credited Bruce Campbell as a co-producer in the film. Now, we all know that there was somewhat of an excess of blood in the film, but it's actually made up of Karo, which is syrup and non-dairy creamer and red food coloring. And at one point, Bruce Campbell's shirt that he wears in the movie was so saturated with this fake blood that after drying it by the fire, it became so solidified and brittle that it actually broke when he tried to put it on. I thought that was hilarious. The movie, which completed principal photography really in the early 1980, the most of the actors had just left the production. So there was more to be filmed later, and Sam Raimi didn't really know what to do. So that's why you'll notice there's a lot of Bruce Campbell, and they kind of use stand-ins to be in the background to, you know, sort of take the place of those actors that took off. Because you know what? Being in such an intense environment in 1979 and 1980, they were probably burned out and just wanted to go home. They were in this cramped cabin in the middle of the woods. I get it. They said on a normal day of shooting that Bruce Campbell would actually return home in the back of a pickup truck because he was so covered in fake blood from head to toe. Can you imagine him in a car? He would probably get pulled over, or people would stop and look at him and freak out. Director Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell were actually friends from high school, and they made a lot of Super 8 films together, and they would often collaborate with Sam's brother Ted Raimi. Now, Ted Raimi you would know as playing Joxer and in Xena Warrior Princess and from various other roles. But Campbell became the actor of the group, as he said, because the others said, well, you're the one that the girls want to look at. I thought that was really funny. In an interview, Betsy Baker, who was in the movie, said that she learned the producers were interested in having her star in it, but she was so suspicious of this that she would only meet them in a public restaurant, which I get it. It was very low budget. As a matter of fact, this movie was so low budget that they had to stop filming for several months at a time just to get more money. That was very frustrating for all of them because, you know, they would get maybe a quarter to a halfway done and they would have to stop and go out. They'd have to shave, clean. And actually, Bruce Campbell and Rob Tappert, Sam Raimi would present themselves as businessmen and literally knock on doors and meet with potential investors to get money. So they were actually pretending to be, you know, kind of faking it till they make it. Let's put it that way. One story about an investor, when I was reading about the movie, I thought was interesting is this guy said, you know what? I like you guys. I normally go to Vegas in the summer and I blow about $2,000, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you my $2,000 because it's probably better off in your hands. And I thought that was really cool. So, you know, long story short, on that end of it, they, of course, ended up raising the money, getting the funds. And can you imagine the kickbacks those initial investors are receiving all the way up until today, since this film has definitely reached, let's say, a cult hit status. This I thought was cool. The eerie wind noise in the movie was actually recorded by Sam Raimi. He first heard it in his bedroom window while he was trying to sleep in this cabin, and he thought it would be perfect for the movie. So I thought that was really, really cool. When there wasn't any filming, Bruce Campbell would actually help out with the crew by prepping shots and doing the grunt work around the set. And again, I am not shocked by this. Bruce Campbell just seems like an awesome guy. And, you know, big thumbs up. I really have such respect for Bruce Campbell. The contact lenses in the movie where You know, their eyes were completely white, were so painful that they actually had to be taken out every 15 minutes to allow the eyeballs to breathe. That is how uncomfortable these things are. I've shot low budget horror projects in the past, and I've had friends that have agreed to wear contact lenses for those horror projects, and they said the same thing. And they're very uncomfortable and not fun to wear. So thank you to all performers out there who have been through that type of thing. I thought this was really cool. At the premiere screenings of The Evil Dead, blood donor stations were giving free tickets to the movie, along with pin badges that stated, "I bled for Evil Dead." I thought that's really cool. Robert Tappert actually joked in an interview that this was their way of giving blood back to the community after so much fake blood was used during filming. So that was really cool. I love it. The film was actually shown to Stephen King, and it was his glowing endorsement, which was actually later used on the film ads and posters of this movie, which really got it sold to the public. And the film, of course, was bought by New Line Cinema soon after. And the rest is cinematic history. So big shout out to all those independent horror filmmakers out there who have a vision and they literally give their hearts, their, you know, their minds, their bodies, their souls, and their wallets to seeing a project completed. And this is a case, a lot of people, you know, they'll point out various horror movies that have been done on shoestring budgets, but this was really one of the first that required so much out of the cast, out of the crew, and everyone involved. So next time you watch Evil Dead, just remember how much work went into that movie. And I am, of course, very excited to see the new installment. I'll be very excited for your reviews, for your thoughts when you see it. And hey, if you enjoyed this and you have a suggestion about another movie that we should take a little deeper look at, then please send me an email at brian@footstepsatticpodcast@gmail.com, and I will certainly welcome your suggestions. Until then, this is Brian Hobson for Footsteps in the Attic. We'll see you next week.